Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
I'm Matt.
And I'm Alex.
And I'm Kerry.
Welcome, guys, back to the Game Junkies podcast.
Okay, guys, as I've mentioned, this is the Game Junkies podcast. I'm Matt. Kerry's taking a week off this week. She's had a well-deserved break. She's been on every show, you know, since last year, since she debuted. So she deserves the rest, I feel. But I'm still stuck with Alex. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
Oh, so you decided to show up.
Indeed. How you doing, buddy? All right.
Yeah, not too bad. Better now that you're here, I think. Maybe, I don't know, maybe you're going to go away again and leave us all.
Ooh, I'm sensing...
I've already got someone to replace Reed. Chris has taken his place.
Thank you so much. Speaking of which, we actually do have a guest with us this week. We actually do have Chris from Crystal Gamers.
Hi, guys. Thank you for having me on again.
Always a pleasure. We have... Well, we've got quite a big news to talk about, and none better to talk about it with than Chris. He's also going to join us for our main section, which we'll get to later. But first, as always, that important bit of news. Which, if you've been living under a rock, you won't know about. But, well, we all know about this, I think. It's yeah,
there's been a... You first.
No, after you, Alex, it is.
No, I was going to say... A bit of back and forth on DMs, and $68.7 billion later, Microsoft now own Activision.
They're in the process of doing so. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Chris, and you know what I'm like, I usually am. It's going to take a year and a half to close this deal.
It could take up to, there's no set closing date on it, but they expect to be completed by the end of Microsoft's next financial year, which is the end of June 2023. So it could take to the end of June, but it could be done before, but it just depends on how long it takes to get through all the legal stuff.
Yeah. Obviously, this is the biggest acquisition in the history of gaming. But how big of a deal is this in general, given... I'm gonna be blunt about this. The shit that's been going on with Activision Blizzard. How important is this deal?
For me personally, I think hopefully it's a chance for them to sort out their shit.
Yeah. I mean, you consider what Vanguard was and what they've been treating their staff like. You just have to look at Twitter to have seen everything that's been going on with it. This could be its saving grace, really.
Yeah, I mean, I looked at a picture of, I keep forgetting what his name is.
Bobby Kotick,
yeah. Everyone see him, it looks like a baddie from Marvel. He looks slimy, is what he does. He looks slimy and sleazy. If I didn't know who he was, I'd know who he was, sort of thing, and not in a good way. The fact that he, and this is not hearsay, this is out there in the open, isn't it, pretty much, about the stuff he's covered up and the stuff.
It's alleged, it's not proven, is it?
But there's a lot of
sources claim that he knew what was going on and personally intervened.
Yeah.
And like a lot of stuff, things, and kept things under wraps.
A lot of fires are burning, and yeah.
Well, there's a lot of smoke, let's just say that.
Yeah, and that's going to be a good idea. You need fire burning there. But aside from that, which is probably going to be like Microsoft's HR department getting rid of a flamethrower pretty much and torching the whole of that and torching all of those people who shouldn't be there anymore for one reason or another. Putting that to one side, because that's quite a big part, we're going to put it to one side for a moment. What does this do in the battle between Sony and Microsoft? Because Sony have lost, potentially lost access to a lot of IPs.
They've also lost 20 million off their share price as well.
20 million?
Yeah, I think it's even, I can't remember if it's million or billion, but they've taken a massive hit. I think their share price dropped to like 13%.
13%
because Microsoft since the news came out. So a lot of people want to see what Sony are going to do with retaliation or how they're going to retaliate.
Can they? Is there anything they can do on it?
Not on that scale, I don't think.
No, because if I remember correctly, I mean, you watching Spawnwave earlier, and I believe this is a complete cash deal. It's not shares involved. It's a complete cash deal.
Is Microsoft writing a check and saying,
yeah,
have some money.
Yeah. It's half of what they had in the bank. So they've got another half is still in the bank. That just goes to how good Microsoft make money.
The thing is, they're saying they got 25 million Game Pass subscribers, which works out something like, I can't remember how it's all worked out, but it's like something like $325 million a month revenue.
So there's
this to do, yeah, with Game Pass. I worked this out actually.
You did, didn't you?
Obviously. This is like before tax and everything, because I imagine there's a lot of tax on it.
Yeah.
But obviously Game Pass now has 25 million people subscribed to it.
Yeah.
And just on the basic pass for UK people alone, like not UK, in UK currency, it comes out to 3 billion, 300 million a year.
Yeah.
In money before tax.
So that's just on Game Pass. That's not saying all the hardware, all the software.
Microsoft in general.
Yeah.
No. They don't need to sell hardware at this point, really, do they? Considering what Game Pass makes.
And what xCloud, of course.
The thing is, they also... what was I going to say? I've gone blank. I have gone completely blank. Okay. Come back to me. I'll just
come it's back okay, we'll come back. It's... I mean, let's just. But how many IPs they've lost? I mean, let's count them briefly here. You've obviously got Call of Duty, which is the main, which is the big one.
Yeah,
you've obviously the big one.
Which, coincidentally,
mm-hmm.
the Call of Duty Vanguard and Call of Duty Cold War were the best selling games on PlayStation systems last year.
Yeah, it's
huge. You factor in the fact that all the online sales they would have got from.
Yeah, exactly.
Because obviously, if it's bought on Sony's store, they get a cut of it. Any in-game purchase made on Sony's store, they get a cut of it. So it's all that revenue is going away from Sony.
Potentially, but...
So is Call of Duty in the future going to become an Xbox exclusive?
Potentially.
It's very possible. I mean, when they bought Bethesda, for $7.5 billion, which seems like peanuts comparatively at this point.
It really does.
It seemed like peanuts in comparison.
Yeah, what I was going to say is they worked out when Microsoft bought Bethesda for $7 billion, they made $14 billion in that same quarter. So they literally spent half of what they made in a quarter of a year on Bethesda. So Microsoft do make it in. So
Microsoft,
they are a much bigger company, though, really.
Yeah.
They
are a lot smaller in scale.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to put it in context,
yeah, go on.
Microsoft paid more than what Nintendo is worth completely for Activision Blizzard.
Indeed.
Nintendo's worth something like just under 62 billion.
This is the thing, but I mean, I saw a great meme which was of Mr. Bean literally with like a cake, and you had his car being crushed by a tank, the tank being Microsoft buying Activision Blizzard, the car being Sony, and Nintendo being Mr. Bean. Completely ignoring it all. Because
that's what Nintendo does, to be fair.
But to be fair, if I'm right, correct me if I'm wrong here, they don't do a lot of stuff for Nintendo.
No, the last things that Activision did for the Switch, they did the Spyro Reignited Trilogy, Crash 4, and Tony Hawk's.
But that wasn't all.
So in terms of Call of Duty, that doesn't come to Switch. So Switch isn't losing that franchise.
Mm. So that's why Nintendo fans are bored about it, because it doesn't affect them really.
I do reckon Call of Duty Warzone will stay on all systems because
it's a money maker. Well,
so they'll treat it like they do kind of Minecraft and stuff like that, where it's like across all.
Well, it makes sense, doesn't it? Makes sense. Why change it ain't broken? But as you said with Bethesda, when they took ZeniMax over and got Bethesda part of the package, they said that certain things won't be something won't be console exclusive and will be on all consoles. I think that was in terms of some.
Because it was a case by case, and they don't have any pre-existing contracts.
It would be kind of fun. I've got to admit, if someone like in about 3 years' time boots up a copy of later Call of Duty, like Ghost Warfare, whatever you want to call it, and it says Microsoft Xbox Studio on a PlayStation. The irony of that doesn't make me chuckle.
But give it a couple of years, and I'm sure Microsoft will be buying KFC.
The weird thing is that what also is involved in that, because they make a lot of money, Activision Blizzard, through some of their other games, notably King, because they own King.
Candy Crush. Most successful mobile game of all time.
Exactly.
Or profitable mobile game of all time.
They're going to make a lot. They're going to make their money back in no time. Well, maybe a couple of years it'll take them, but the thing is, they've got now so many IPs. People are now like fantasizing which one the Microsoft are going to greenlight, sort of thing. Are we going to get Spyros, new Spyro game? We get new Crash games? Are we going to get new Tony Hawks? We're going to get all these amazing franchises which are tied up. Let's not forget, World of Warcraft is now a Microsoft game.
That's a massive online.
That's massive. And there's so much money, real life money in that game, as we know. It just blows my mind a little bit still thinking about it. The best part about it is that hopefully we get that toad out of the press at a boardroom as well. Hopefully.
Yeah, I'd say Microsoft were very much pushing home the message of we are looking forward to being in our culture of inclusivity and fairness. And like I say, I think from what I gather, Bobby Kotick will be going because I think Mike's, because they've said that once it's complete, they will be reporting to Phil Spencer as CEO.
Phil Spencer said last year when all these accusations, and they are after accusations, but I have to say it for legal reasons, came out that he was deeply troubled by the discussions, and he was going to be reconsidering possibly his company's relationship with each other. So they certainly would create a few a clean slate, as it were. However, I do believe there is a rumour of how much the payoff he would get is.
Yeah, it's actually more than I thought.
Yeah, how much is it now, Chris?
It's about $370 million he could be in line to get, because he's got various clauses in his contract about.
I'd say who signed that contract? He did.
But then Activision's board gave him the contract.
I think that the holdout board needs to go a fresh start in general, with lots of exclusivity, which Spencer's all about. So, anyway, well, obviously, I dare say, Chris, that as this story rumbles on next week, you'll probably bring it up on your news thing.
If stuff shows up, I will touch on it. But obviously, they made a big announcement, and it's rocked
the world, hasn't it?
I think the thing is, it's going to take time. Like, they've made the announcement, as now it's just waiting for stuff to happen.
Yeah, but it is kind of fun now as gaming fans to now think about, okay, what are you going to green light for us? Come on, there's no reason not now, sort of thing.
The one thing that was interesting, or a couple of things are interesting, first is like not just the IPs, but the studios that Microsoft are getting.
Yes.
So obviously, okay, they've been absorbed into Blizzard at the moment. We got Vicarious Visions, who did the Tony Hawk's games, and they've done a lot of platformers of that in the past. Got a company called Toys for Bob, who did the Spyro Reunited Trilogy.
Yes.
So people say,
that's a very good job there. Well,
yeah, so saying, right. Could they move games across? So could you find that Toys for Bob gets their hands on Banjo-Kazooie?
Or could you imagine a brand new Banjo game by them people?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And obviously, because Activision Blizzard were primarily aimed on Call of Duty because they're the big money maker.
Yeah.
Microsoft aren't going to be so pushy on the money. They're going to be looking for the variety of games. So that does make stuff like Spyro and Crash more likely.
And one thing we have learned, especially from where we with our frustration, Alex, of Halo Infinite being pushed back, and being pushed back rightly when it was not ready for release, I dare say that given the problems that are going on with Vanguard at the moment, then that Phil Spencer and the rest of Microsoft will not settle for that happening with any future releases.
For example, there's a game, Ghostwire Tokyo, which is being developed by Bethesda Studios.
Yes.
PlayStation 5 exclusive, because it was a contract. Yeah. But Microsoft delayed, or the studio have delayed it, because they're not happy with, they want to make sure it's completely ready.
Because if they wanted to be dicks about it, for lack of a better term, they could then release an inferior game. Yeah. Game on their console.
Yeah, they could just shove it out and say, yeah, we're done. But because they want to hold a contract, and also they want to keep a good look for the studio.
This is it.
They're taking the time with it.
We've talked multiple times about when they've done things like with Metroid and, you know, how they should have done with Cyberpunk. Let's not go very far with Cyberpunk and that sort of thing. There's so many things people should push back and they don't.
Yeah.
Which is the perfect actual segue into the next thing I wanted to talk about is, Alex, I believe today you got a bit excited about a game release date.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that. I actually forgot about that one, to be honest.
To be fair, I watched the trailer this evening as well, and it's, why don't you tell the
jump? It's a game you were thinking about. You didn't watch trailer by choice, because I had the trailer on. You noticed and
I watched the trailer, didn't say it.
The trailer, Matt.
I didn't decide on what circumstances. I was very happy to watch it. I love these games. Alex, please tell the junkies at home what the game is.
Well, obviously, it's the new LEGO Star Wars game, which comes out April 5th. And not only is it a new LEGO Star Wars, it's a LEGO Star Wars with every single episode from the original to the sequels to the prequels. So it's got everything again.
There's also a completely revamped gameplay styles as well, which looks really cool, actually.
I know. It's like over the shoulder, a lot of it, isn't it?
Over the shoulder shooters.
So weird.
Third person, rather than isometric.
It's amazing. I can't wait. Like
dynamic camera angles and everything.
Yeah.
And space battles.
Indeed. So much amazing stuff. If you get a chance to check out that trailer, go and do it, guys. It's brilliant.
It's going to be fantastic.
It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to be absolutely phenomenal. Obviously, that was pushed back. Obviously, another game which was pushed back to this year, which won't be as exciting for you, Alex, I'm aware, so it's fine, is that start of March, March 11th, we get the long overdue latest WWE 2K game. Now, I'm aware that you're not interested in that, Alex. I'm aware.
If it's as buggy as the last one they released, I will be fully interested in it. To be honest,
unfortunately,
we've unseen all the videos of people headbutting thin air and all that.
I'm getting where you're coming from, this, and it was the reason why it was one of our worst games of 2019. Yeah,
you also put it on your good list, though.
No, bad list.
If I remember,
it was on a bad list. On a bad list. It was fully on a bad list, and it was for a good reason. But the trailer that came out today, it looks beautiful. Completely redone the engine from the ground up. They brought back the very popular GM mode, which is something they've wanted to do for years. The fan
test. Trailers are deceiving.
Pardon?
Trailers are deceiving, Willis.
I'm aware. I'm aware. But I'm saying that even the trailer looks better than the trailer they did for 2020. So
did Cyberpunk.
I'm aware. I'm just saying that if it looks like that, then I'll be happy. If it looks half as good as that, I'll be happy. That's the level. That's how bad 2K20 was. So yeah.
What about the gameplay? Then that's the most important part. Looking good's nice, but
yeah, I know.
It needs to play well.
If it plays if it plays half as good as what they've been touting it they'll be doing, I'll be happy with that. It was almost unplayable 2K20 at certain times. So I am cautiously optimistic. So yeah, that might end up on, because of course we'll tell you later on about something else that's happening, of course. But for right now, unless you've got anything else to talk about, gentlemen, let's talk about some games, yes. Woo. So guys, obviously this is the first show back since the turn of the year. Happy New Year. I know it's a bit late, but hurrah. It's time for us to talk about the top games of 2021. Now,
not just the top games.
No. Our favourite ones, as it were. However, we're only doing our top three. We've done our top 10. But we're not doing that this year. We're just doing our top three. And we might have a worst game nomination. Well, I don't know if Alex has got one or not, to be fair.
I'm thinking at the moment.
Well, if you cut one, then great. If you don't, then that's cool. But, you know, we should let the guests have choice. If it wants to go first, second, the first?
I'll go in the middle.
You go in the middle? Okay, then. Alex, you go first.
Why don't you go first, Matt?
I can do. Want me to?
Yeah, you go first, Matt. I mean, after all, you ditched us, so you might as well make up for your effort.
Yeah, of course. Me ditching you, yes, of course.
So you're in third, then second, then favourite, yeah?
Yes, that's how I like to do it, yeah. But so for me, the third best game of 2021 was Forza Horizon 5.
Okay.
Forza Horizon 5, beautiful. I mean, the Horizon games always are, and it got better with the X and S versions, of course. Going to Mexico was a stroke of genius. You've got all different kinds of weather. It's just so dynamic now. It's almost a story mode as you're playing through, better than it has been in recent times. I mean, you guys have played it. You know how good this game is. I mean, Alex obviously is an absolute car nut. So, you know, you must have enjoyed all the different cars that have been added into the game this year.
I do, and I don't. I like the cars, but I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of the map. Like, it's all right, but it doesn't. It just feels very basic. I mean, there are some wonderful sites like the volcano and everything, but the map just feels kind of basic and round.
Well,
you know, there's like no strength anything on it. It's all right. It's better than other games. In my opinion, it's better than Horizon 4.
Horizon 4 really should have been better than it was.
In my opinion, nothing has compared to Horizon 3 yet.
I think Chris will argue about that one a little bit.
I don't know what it is. I just didn't click with Horizon 3, and I'm not sure why. So I quite like Horizon 4. I seem to click with that one a bit better.
You like Horizon 2, though. It's your favourite one.
Yeah.
Oh, I can agree with Chris. In all honesty, Horizon 2 is probably the best one. Yeah. I can actually agree with that.
I came in quite late, so I played a lot more 3. But Horizon 2, it was a great game.
It slaps.
Horizon 3 was good. Horizon 4 should have been better. Maybe because we've been more, because we're British.
I'm just glad. The one thing that I hated about Horizon 4 was when it snowed. Like, how the season... I mean is, like, you couldn't turn off seasons in the settings for, like, your single-player stuff. The seasons were, like, fixed. Because driving in the snow sucked, to be honest. You had a few set of cars that were good at driving in the snow. But anything else, it doesn't stop, and it just flies off sideways 50 miles an hour into someone's house. It was so annoying.
Yeah.
I like the frozen lakes. That was cool.
Thankfully, they have changed that so you can actually adjust things accordingly. I think now they can now do a bit better, can they?
I'm not sure. I don't think seasons are a thing in 5, to be fair.
You have to look. You have, it's a lot more weather changes, though, which is good.
Yeah, it's more the weather depends on your environment sometimes. With,
I mean, I personally really loved it. That's why it made my my list. You know, I don't know if it made your list. I'm guessing the way that you're running it down, like, so it didn't make yours.
It was close. If anything, it's an honourable mention for me.
Okay, I finally enjoyed it, and of course, it was massively helped by the fact that it went to Game Pass, and Game Pass games will always be, you know, played often by myself and Alex. And you, Jeremy, because Game Pass is a ridiculously good deal.
Yeah, I don't say much about Horizon 5 because it is somewhere on my list. So,
okay, well, you're next up, Chris.
Yeah. So my number 3 actually quite surprised me when I was thinking about games from last year.
Okay.
And basically, the way I did it is because I got, I'm not going to lie, I've done this list in the last hour. I'm kind of thinking, okay, what game stood out for me from last year. And one that kept coming back to me was Psychonauts 2.
You did like Psychonauts.
Yeah, I've not really played the series until Psychonauts 2. It's just like, I can't even put my finger on it, but it just really sticks in my mind, like the way it's how the gameplay is, like the tints of darkness in the storytelling. It's kind of wacky and zany, and but it's quite clever in platforming and so the design as well. So yeah, it's a game that I've really enjoyed. Not sure if you guys have played any of it at all.
I've never played a Psychonauts game, which is too much. But it's a game that I should.
Yeah.
Basically, you think it's in the same house as
me. It is Game Pass as well.
So there is no excuse then.
Yeah, it's a Microsoft published game. It's on Game Pass. So
it's a game that maybe we should check out at some point, Alex.
Yeah, it's a bit crazy, a bit bonkers, but it's just kind of, this is a solid platformer, and it's something I quite enjoy.
So. Crazy and bonkers. We played Moving Out at EGX. Trust me, we know a thing or two about crazy and bonkers, Alex, don't we? So
yeah, so I can't really say exactly why it's stuck out because it's a game that I've not admittedly played tons of it, but it has stuck with me. Like I remember parts
of it. If it stays in your mind, then it's done its job.
It's made an impact.
Yeah, for me, that's a game when on your list of games for the year. It has to still be up there.
Yeah.
And
it's just, like, it does deal with elements of mental health. It does have a warning, like, this could be triggering to some people because it looks at aspects of mental health and things like that. So it's kind of...
Well, that reminded me when you...
Quite psychotic and kind of...
Yeah, when you were so enamoured of Persona 5, because it dealt with those difficult subjects at times. Yes.
It wasn't afraid to go head on with...
The
things issues. That made you think, oh, actually, no, that's actually quite dark and grim.
But I like that in a way. Not because those are being talked about.
But it's bringing those subjects to the mainstream as such, because they're not, I wouldn't say they're mainstream games, they're not like top selling games, but
it makes people take notice of it.
But it's games that people play and brings that kind of subject to people's opinions and into people's mindsets. So.
Well, for me, that's where that absolutely brings it forward. Even if you haven't played that much, it perfectly puts it forward as a game for you, for sure.
So that is my number 3.
Excellent. Heffernan, you're up.
My list, if you know me well enough, my list is probably really obvious, but I think Mass Effect the Remastered has to be in this list. And for me, it's the third on my list.
It was
obviously.
It was a very well received remaster and re-release for sure. It's one that I haven't started yet because I want to do it for the channel, and I want to do it with Alex, basically ridiculing all my decisions because that is something I'm going to live for when it happens. So, Alex, so you're probably better positioned than me and Chris to... Because I guess Chris hasn't played much Mass Effect.
I actually haven't played it at all.
Mm. So...
That's surprising, but I think it is coming to Game Pass or something.
This is the thing. It is coming to Game Pass. In fact, as we're recording, today.
Fair enough. So
today, it's coming to Game Pass.
Along with Hitman Trilogy, so I've got a couple of things to get stuck into.
There is a lot of stuff for sure. Alex, why don't you tell people why they should be playing this game, especially now it's on the Game Pass?
Well, oh God, now you put me on the spot. It's all nostalgia for me. It is just one of my favorite games, to be honest. My favorite, I always try when the remaster came out, I thought to myself, right, I'm gonna play through the entire series again. And then I instantly end up just going on to Mass Effect 3 and playing that through and being angry at the ending. Because the ending wasn't as good as it should have been.
But correct me if I'm wrong here, with this remastered re-release, they actually got all the DLC included.
Yes. There is a DLC, well, not all the DLC, but the main DLC. And there is a DLC mini thing on Mass Effect 3 called the Citadel DLC.
Yes.
That is just, it's basically when they tried to make Mass Effect more comical, and it is the most fun 3 hours I've ever spent on a DLC.
That's quite a large amount of DLC.
Probably because I'm not the best at over-the-shoulder shooters, but no. For me, the Citadel DLC was very fun. Mass Effect is like a pile-up of choice-based decisions in running around the map shooting enemies. It's not everyone's cup of tea, but I think there is a good majority of people who will like it. It reminds me a lot of like Halo in a way, like how maps are laid out and how the missions work. I can't really describe it that well. I know this is a really poor description because it's just all nostalgia for me.
I've not touched it apart from when I played a bit of Mass Effect 3 for your review when you did it 4 years ago, Alex.
That is mind-boggling.
4 years ago you did that. That was amazing fun to play, but I didn't appreciate it because it was the 360 version and it was a bit blocky. Obviously,
yeah, as all of them are, but the remaster, I feel very jealous of the people who get to experience Mass Effect for the first time with the remastered version, because it's just so much more crisper than it used to be.
That's why I'm looking forward to playing it.
Yeah, it's the first game where I played where choices actually become something that affects the story.
Your choices mattered.
Yeah, so if you're into like choice based games with a bit of shooting on the side, it is
and romance. A game for you. And play your romance.
And there is romance, surprisingly. Most of it's like camera goes to black sort of thing, but it's there if you want it.
Yeah. Everybody loves their Shepard. I played Mafia Andromeda. And
I like Andromeda was a letdown. I mean, in my honest opinion, I know it's not a very popular opinion, but I think once they did fix all the bugs in the main issues, it was a fairly enjoyable game. But if you compare it to the original trilogy of games, it doesn't compare.
That's the problem, unfortunately. You're so quick about to say to me.
I was about to say, I heard that Andromeda was the most poorly received of those games. I've not played any of them, but I will give it a go and say hit Game Pass or when I get a chance to. So
the really unfortunate thing is that Andromeda was under a hiding to nothing because the hype for it was so,
it was huge, the hype for it.
The hype train was being ridden with a lot of conductors, let's put it that way. And not surprising, given how successful the first three games had been, the expectation was huge. Problem is that it did. It was enjoyable. I finally enjoyed it. But when you compare it to the other ones, Alex is the one to ask you, it just doesn't compare. It's not even the same.
No, it doesn't. One of the biggest issues they had is I believe they tried Mass Effect Andromeda on a completely new engine. It just backfired massively. It was just buggy as shit. Facial animations were fucked. Everything was glitchy. As I said, now, it's playable, and I fairly enjoyed it, but it just doesn't hit the same as the other games. I'd still recommend playing it, because, I mean, you can pick it up for, like, less than a tenner secondhand.
Mm.
So I think it is worth the play, but it's not going to... It just can't compare to the original trilogy.
Well, that's an opinion which is shared by many, Alex, so I wouldn't feel bad
about that. An unpopular opinion. I will say it is an unpopular opinion that me saying it's not that bad, but that's my opinion. I'm going to stick by it.
It's definitely fourth out of the four, for sure. Right. My second game, I'm going to be kind of predictable from this point, unfortunately. What do you think my second favourite game of the year was?
Formula One?
It was F1 2021. Which is kind of predictable with me, I guess.
Yeah, a little bit. But then again, I think my list is probably going to be pretty predictable at this point now.
But this game, it's the best F1 simulator out there, so much so that esports are running on it and running on it well. It's very, very fun to play. At some point, I will be dragging Alex onto it to do some co-op for sure, because we game share it. Yeah. So there's no reason for him not to. He's got payout for the damn thing. But it's not just the amazing career mode, the amazing team manager career mode, or the amazing esports mode. It's the fact they added in a story mode properly called Breaking Point, where I think I got the game on the Friday and I binged it. I binged it the entire weekend and I finished playing it on the Tuesday. And by the end of it,
you're like, what the hell? What do you mean it's over?
It was a little bit like that because it was amazing, the story mode. The only thing that was wrong with it was I wanted a bit more. There was plenty more they could have given, but I guess if they gave it all to his first time out, you're not going to get anything for next year. But you actually formed a connection with the character you were playing as, who is Aiden Jackson. It was a really, really good bit of fun. They brought back Devin Butler from 2019, who was a complete arse. And he's the arsehole you want to hate. And you don't mind getting involved in a crash sort of deal. But, so I was already feeling a little bit teary at the end of the story mode because it was a lot happening in one go sort of thing. And then at the end of, and then as it finishes, it says, dedicated to the memory of Maya Walker. And I just went. I just started crying. Maya Walker being one of my heroes, of course. One of my inspirations behind podcasting in the first place. So it's an emotional pick for me, as well as being a logical pick. This was the best racing game of the year. Even better than Forza Horizon for me. So, yeah. Simple pick for me, and it was the first one released under EA Sports ownership, but we'll see what happens when a full game comes out under EA's ownership, because they bought it while Codemasters basically finished the game already.
Yes.
So let's see what happens. Hopefully, they leave Codemasters to just get on with it. Hopefully.
Might be lucky.
I might be lucky, you never know. Right. Okay, so that's my second one done. Chris?
My number two, it must be like Alex, is very nostalgia-driven, and it is Legend of Zelda Skyward Sword HD.
I forgot that one came out. Zelda on a horse.
Zelda on a
Skyward
Sword. Yeah. Zelda on a horse in the sky.
Right, and the horse is riding a sword.
Zelda in the Sky of Horses.
And Matt's head is on the horse's head is Matt's head.
I am a horse's head, yes. Right, anyway, so now we've got my joke out of the way, Chris. Tell us why Skyward Sword is your second best game of last year.
I think, going back to another Wii, I think I got Skyward Sword, but because it's right towards the end of the Wii's life cycle, I didn't really spend much time with it. So I kind of like got it, played it through for a little bit. Kind of really bored because I got the collector's edition with the golden Wii Remote Plus. So yeah, I got a special bundle like that. But what I'm really enjoying with the HD remaster, which came out last year, is the fact they've gone the extra mile. They've made quality of life improvements to the game. So not only is it HD, improved graphics, there's also the fact they've made the fact you don't have to use motion controls the whole time. You can use adaptive controls, because I think I said that's much challenging about the game, because it was all motion controls, making a way for it to work on a Switch if you're on handheld mode or on a Switch Lite, stuff like that. Mm. So they're quite clever of how they managed to do that. And like putting the sword motions onto the right control stick. So you hold down the ZL button, then use your right stick to attack, and whatever direction you push the stick is what your sword does.
So you can you can both use that, or if you can take your Joy-Cons off, you can actually slash. Like you could, but that's really cool.
Yeah, so you got your right Joy-Cons, your sword, your left Joy-Con is the shield. So,
correct me if I'm wrong, you can't connect other Joy-Cons to a Switch Lite, can you?
I think you can. You can.
It's a bit awkward, is it?
Yeah, it's awkward because it's not. You can't just slide them on. You have to do the.
That's really awkward as well, isn't it? It's much easier to pair it by clicking on the sides and then
With the Joy-Cons, I've never used them off the Switch because I find, like, when they're on the Switch, I know what every button is, but I find if I take them off the Switch, I have to actually look to make sure I'm hitting the right buttons.
It is weird, though, isn't it? I mean, you don't do that.
Like, I know where the buttons are, and yet I have to look down because they're not in the place they normally are.
Does that work then, the same thing on a Pro Controller?
Yeah, you can actually use a Pro Controller to play it.
Yeah,
so because that all about and the right control stick to do your sword.
Because I've obviously got a Pro Controller. For when I'm playing, like I play Among Us, I play I wander around on Animal Crossing using it, sort of like plugged into TV.
Yeah,
you know, it's good to have it. So I'm really glad that they've done that.
Yeah, it's funny. You don't have to rely on motion controls. It's like I said, it's the quality of life things. Like they made it more easy to travel places, and like one thing to say is very hard to say. There wasn't very safe places, but now they've made you able to say where you like kind of thing. And
it's a little thing.
Yeah,
it's a little thing that they've listened to the fans. Yeah.
They've timed up the controls. It's 60 FPS rather than 30 now, so
that's
smooth experience as well. So yeah, but again, it is a massive nostalgia hit because it's a game I did kind of start getting into on the Wii, then kind of moved on to the Wii U and other consoles out at the time and kind of left it behind and had your chance to dive into it and get stuck in. And
didn't you get the collection as usual for that?
Not for this one. I did manage to get the limited edition Joy-Con though.
Yeah.
Skyward Sword Joy-Con. They're pretty cool.
They are pretty cool, aren't they?
Yeah, one's the Master Sword and one's the Hylian Shield designed.
So if you're able to get, can you get me more of a perpetual gun now?
I think they were limited edition, so they're either going to be expensive or hard to get.
Okay, but you'd recommend the game.
Yeah. Guys, if you'd like. It is also the Zelda game that takes place is the earliest in the Zelda timeline. So it is
literally
the start of everything. It's like
sets
up why Zelda became such a legend and kind of.
Okay.
Like the birth of Triforce and the Master Sword and that. So.
Okay.
Well, it also explains why he rides a horse. Don't give me that face, Matt.
Thank you, Alex.
The
horse is called Matt, the bird is called Willis.
Thank you, Alex, so much.
I would say Zelda rides a bird, but it sounds a bit rude.
Anyway, we're gonna skate over that.
We're gonna move on to Alex's number two.
Alex, what is your number two pick?
My number two pick is Zelda on a horse.
Okay.
Okay. My number two pick is Halo Infinite.
You have been raging about this in a good way.
Yeah, this, I didn't actually have high hopes for this one, to be honest. I don't know why. I mean, I played Halo. Obviously, my Halo game, Days of Gaming, starts when I had my original Xbox. It was a clear one. You know, the clear Xboxes they did with, like, the second edition of the original controllers? Not the, like, the huge chunky things looked like circles, but when they turned them into normal-looking controllers.
Remember
that's when I first started playing Halo. I got given the first one, which was fantastic fun. Eventually, I managed to get Halo 2 at a boot sale for £4.99. Play that for a Nat's Legendary. Eventually played Halo 3, and then I just sort of stopped after that. And then I eventually managed to convince Matt to play it. So we played through Halo 1, Halo 2, Halo 3.
I didn't need much convincing, Alex, did I, to be fair?
Then Halo 4, then Halo 5. But Halo 4 and Halo 5, they were all right. They were better, like, gameplay mechanic-wise than they were story-wise. But
this is true.
I think what Halo Infinite did that it hasn't done since Halo 3 was they looked more at the story in the character depth in their personalities more than the gameplay. The gameplay is fantastic. I really enjoyed it. The fact that Halo is an open world in this one, that has a lot going on. And there's all different things to do, like outposts and saving Marines instead of just following the main story in a vast empty world.
This is sounding like heaven.
Hey, I think an open world was the best move for the series. And I don't want to get into the story too much because I know you haven't played it yet.
I haven't yet. I've
played some. I'm enjoying it so far. So
I am looking forward to playing it. I'm partially holding off because I sort of want to play the co-op campaign when it drops later this year.
I do. I will happily play the co-op campaign with you because obviously we've done that for every other game, even
the
though I have.
Smile on Alex's face right now, guys, talking about he is so happy.
This would have been my number one with the whole idea of Halo being an open world, the really deep character personalities from some of the characters. Even the Chief has got like quite a deep personality now. It's just. It's one of the best games they've made in a while. After Halo 3, the Halo games just became a bit meh. But as of Halo Infinite, they really have just stepped up their game with this. The only thing I'm not keen about is all the microtransaction shits for multiplayer, I'm not.
But I don't mind that quite so much because while you haven't got to buy them, for one part.
And yeah, that is a fair point. It's just the fact that
multiplayer is a free to play.
They rub it in your face.
And as Chris just said, multiplayer is completely free to play as well.
Even you don't have to even buy the base game, you can get it completely free.
Yeah, so that's then you've got to buy the base game, as Chris said. So even if you don't get Game Pass, you can get it through Game Pass, can't you?
You can buy the game physically as well.
Yeah, I think you can get the multiplayer for Game Pass.
I think if you buy the disc, the multiplayer comes with it.
Yeah,
you can get the entire thing through on Game Pass.
Yeah, but for other people who, for one reason or another, haven't got Game Pass, I'm not quite sure why you wouldn't at this point. It's like that most people do. It feels like
no. I think at this point, especially now that they're moving every first party Xbox game onto Game Pass, all the new stuff, I think. If you buy an Xbox, it all but doesn't make sense not to have the Game Pass at this point.
Mm.
The Game Pass just elevates the Xbox so much.
It does, and with all those amazing new games that are going onto it on a regular basis, then we're going to be seeing a lot of games
already.
The value is ridiculous. I mean, the fact that you can get the brand new Halo, which Alex is waxing lyrical about, and the graphics are good. What are you talking about, 60 FPS?
I believe I'm on 60.
Well,
I would have to. Oh wait, no. I think I'm on. I think it's either 30 FPS with higher graphics, or it's lower graphics with 60 FPS, and I believe I'm on 30. Yeah,
performance mode, where you get quality mode.
Both. And I play mine on 30 because while I do, I think the FPS is irrelevant if you want nicer graphics in the grand scheme of things.
But they've done a good job either way. So they give you giving you options is always a good thing.
I think the good thing in a way about the multiplayer being free to play is they had to make sure the campaign was worth the value.
Yeah. So
that's, I think, why I spent a lot more time on the story. Okay, they are going to be adding in more campaign stuff this year as an update with like the campaign and that. So it might feel like it's not a complete package now, but
it will be worth it.
Yeah, especially once they start adding in, like, I think they've got more maps apparently on the way and more game modes as well for multiplayer. And
that's exactly what you want to hear, isn't it, as a gamer? Yeah. So the question is, Alex, before we move on, does this game have any mountain clipping?
I haven't been able to clip mountains, but
they have any clipped in the background? Pop mountains.
No, it's not too bad in this game.
That's good.
I haven't, like, instantly crashed into a mountain that appears in front of me. Everything spaces off, like,
if it's a thousand meters
or so away from you.
How it should go, then, basically.
Yeah, I think they have spent a lot of time making sure that's right.
Because I remember when you did a reaction video to it, Chris, you literally tore a new one. And rightly so.
I do have
one. I wasn't even an Xbox fan, which is a high-end PC.
That did not go down well with a lot of people, did it?
I do have one gripe with Halo Infinite, and I believe they are changing this in a later update. The campaign missions aren't available to replay. Like, there's no replay missions. But I believe they are changing this in an update.
Yeah, but that's... But as long as you, but that's fine, I suppose, isn't that fine?
Yeah, these are certain missions that are only like you can only play as part of the storyline, so you can't go back to them.
Yeah, and certain bits may be quite replayable, and that's something that most gamers will. I mean, if you don't want to play, if you can't play a game again, that's gonna less wanting to buy it.
We could. We have to restart the story.
Yeah, but that's. Not always straightforward, is it?
Yeah.
And one of the things about Halo is being able to drop in and out of levels at your whim once you unlock them.
In my opinion, Halo Infinite is probably one of the best games to date, really, when it comes to the Halo franchise. I don't think it compares to the original 3, but it is definitely up there right behind them.
Well, that is praise indeed, sir. Praise indeed. Right. Now, my number one pick.
No, really.
My number one pick. I started life in 2016. 5 years later, the trilogy completed. My pick for Game of the Year for 2021 is one that came out in January last year and helped me keep me occupied during my recovery from COVID-19. It's Hitman 3.
I guess that was quite predictable.
It was very predictable. And I also said back in January last year, it would probably be my game of the year. So it's not a secret at all. The fact that they've kept content coming throughout the year, obviously with the list of targets, which I've been doing on my channel, of course, and obviously the contract thing, we can do contracts set by certain YouTubers have been doing it as well. The Seven Deadly Sins challenges have been really good fun. And of course, being able to access the previous two games and all of their extra content through Hitman 3 is great. Add to the fact that you can now play all of that as of today, recording 2 days ago, as it goes out, all on Game Pass for free. All three games. Why would you not? It's possibly the best open world assassin type game I've ever played. I've played various, you know, games regarding like James Bond and stuff like that, which is the next thing for IO, by the way, as well. They've got a James Bond game on the go. So they know their way around like a stealthy game sort of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you used to be playing a lot of it, Chris.
Yeah, I still remember the first time I saw you beat up in the Dubai level, and I was like, that is gorgeous.
It was gorgeous. They took their time about it. It was football game 2016, the second one came out in 2018, and then it came out start of 2021. COVID slowed it back a little, but not, but you wouldn't know, would you? You wouldn't know. It was glorious. I mean, Alex, you've seen some of the gameplay, I've uploaded it to the channel. You haven't played any of the games yet, I don't believe.
No, I mean, to be fair, the only thing that really sticks with me when it comes to Hitman is the home in briefcase. And I know I say that every single time, but that's because it is true. Like, the home in briefcase is something that lives rent-free with me.
Yeah, that was obviously came out in Hitman 2. And it's completely unlockable and accessible in Hitman 3. So there's no excuse. You can go back and use it on your older levels. You can go to England. You can go to Dubai, as Chris said. You can go to Japan. You can go to South America. America a couple of times. You can even go to a castle in the North Sea.
Could you just imagine trying to keep a straight face when you're writing out someone's death certificate and it says death by briefcase?
That's nothing. I unlocked the Santa suit for Hitman recently, and I walked into a bank dressed as Santa and a shotgun in hand. I'm here to make a withdrawal. I got 5 steps before I got gunned down by the security guard. But it was very funny to basically try and pull a bank heist dressed as Santa with a shotgun. It was got out of my system. It was fine, but it was fun. But there's so many extra challenges that you can do throughout the game. Once you complete the main like level, you can then do all the other challenges like. Poison them rather than shoot them, or drop a chandelier on them, and you can only do it at a certain time where you can't do it, or when they're watching a fireworks display, push someone off a balcony so they land on someone below and kill them both at the same time. It's little things like that, and it's just so satisfying when it comes off that you walk out of there wondering where the canapes are. It's fantastic. I can look about this game, but guys, go and play it yourself. It's out on Game Pass. Have at it.
Just think of the homing briefcases.
Homing briefcases are in the game. There's no excuses, guys. If you name something, Alex, and I'll tell you if you can kill someone in Hitman. An item, for example. Name an item in the
world. Gravity hammer.
Gravity hammer, no. There are many hammers in the game. Unfortunately, there isn't a four hammer, more to pee.
A PlayStation 5. Oh, wait, Hitman probably can't get one either.
No, but there is a scene where there is someone playing Kane and Lynch in the game.
Huh. Fair enough.
Kind of fun. Yeah, literally, there's so many different things. I mean, I've seen gold bars being used in that game as like melee weapons. Someone repurposed... Of D4s. Oh, no, unfortunately not. That is the only thing. There's no caltrops, unfortunately. But there's a snowball. You can actually throw a snowball in the game, which is great. There's pythons for like climbing walls you can use them to stab someone with. Literally, there's a cutlass. You're just as a pirate. Pretty much, if you can think it, you can do it.
There's a blender, there's a crusher.
There is a blender, there is a crusher, yes. There is...
Electrocute people,
yes. And of course, you can even take part in a civil uprising. This game's got everything, literally. I recommend you both go play it.
Fair enough.
Chris, what's your number one pick?
My number one is one that's come up already in the show, but it's Forza Horizon 5 for me. The Forza Horizon series, I think, is a series I really enjoy. I love how they've ramped up the story aspect. So you got like, a proper storyline going through it, proper voice acting, and I've heard people describe it as like a racing RPG, and it really does feel like that in some ways, where you kind of build up your cars, you can unlock your different skills for each car, and like, I do like the settings. It looks beautiful. The music's great as always. I like how it handles. I like how you can adjust your controls and handling and stuff like that, so you can kind of make it playable your way kind of thing. Like, not gonna lie, I don't have it. I have quite a lot of the assists on and mods on, but for me, it just makes it enjoyable. So the fact you can just make it an enjoyable game to play through rather than rock hard and kind of.
There are the learning curve you can put into it.
Yeah, so you can either be, you can even make it as racing sim as you want, where it's really kind of you tune your car to say how you like it. You can adjust your handling, stuff like that. Yeah, I just really like the customization. I like the cars. I like the environment. And yeah, I just really enjoy the time I spend with it. Like you can just go around in the different vents, or you can just drive around doing all sorts. Like one of the last ones I played, I was going around. I just go to some temples. I was going around the temples, looking at all the temples, trying to find stuff hidden in the temples. And it's just, next turning, it's just like, it's got a sense of exploration, which you don't tend to get in racing games, I think.
You don't get it in a lot of games, no. I mean, the only game which I think can come close to the sense of exploration sometimes you can have in a Horizon game could be maybe a game like Red Dead Redemption or Grand Theft Auto, yeah, with regards to exploring new areas as they unlock, sort of thing. Probably the closer you're going to get to that outside of that. But no, racing game. No.
If an open world racing games aren't a new thing, but I think the Horizon series does it best for me.
Yeah.
Like Burnout Paradise is the one that started it all. Paradise City. Yeah, I think Forza Horizon takes open world stuff and just builds in it and makes it kind of like with the story aspects and like the character building and like the character relations, you can kind of, you know, it's also quite inclusive as well, so you can
everyone can have a go.
Yeah, and also it's kind of like the way that you can be non-binary and stuff like that, and kind of
that's a really good thing they brought in this year.
Yeah, you can choose your pronouns and stuff like that, which is kind of like, day doesn't matter quite so much for us because we know what we identify as, like male and female kind of stuff like that. But for those who don't, that option being there is kind of a big step forward.
Well, for example, our friend Caitlin from Dungeons & Junkies, for example, of course, identifies as non-binary. And that's fantastic. You know, they know they know who they are. And it's really good that they have that option because, you know, like, I don't want they or them. Like, then you don't have to. You know, everyone can now. It's like with vegan sausage rolls. I've had that one before. Vegan sausage rolls, they're not for you meat eaters. They're for people who can't have meat.
What I want to have to eat.
Oh, exactly. Anyway.
Can I just say, vegan sausage rolls are actually quite nice.
this is the thing.
Yeah, Forza Horizon 5 is a game that absolutely smashed in the ear for me. Mm. Really enjoyed it. And yeah, so it's just like a game I love. Another thing I love is you can dive in and out, but you don't have to spend hours playing it. You can go and do a couple of races, jump back out. So, especially for me, in a moment where I'm quite pressed for time, sometimes I don't get ages to spend playing games.
The jumping in and out of it is very useful. And the fact that it's, for the most part, mainly online.
Yeah.
It's mainly online, which is a great thing. So you can go into your con, for lack of a better term. I think that's how it used to be called, isn't it? And you can, like, greet other people, and your driver's car is still going around earning you money, which is still an amazing, good thing.
So that's my number one. So,
and very, very well deserved. Very well deserved indeed. Yeah. Alex, what about you then? What's your number one?
It's probably really predictable. Can you guess what it is, Wallace?
Actually, no. As you say, I'll say of course, but
it's Pokemon. The Gen 4 remakes.
Do you know what the weird thing is? I've loved playing Shining Pearl. It didn't even make my honorable mention list.
How dare you, Willis?
The way he ripped into me because I was just wondering how much I wasn't sucked into it. It didn't even make your honorable
mention list. I completely forgot about putting it on my list. I don't know how.
So obviously it wasn't that good.
It really was. Pearl. I've loved playing Pearl. I don't know why it was on my list. But it's good. I think we found an early mention for Christmas.
First you abandon us for Disney World, and then you bloody belittle Chris for not having Pokemon.
I think we might have a first Christmas cracker for you.
What game would you kick off with this for Pokemon? Brilliant Diamond then. Or Shining Pearl, sorry.
It would be Forza. It'd be Forza.
So take your third place.
Take your third place, it would, yeah. Yeah, I don't know how.
It's only third, though.
To be fair, the other two still stood out more than that one did. I mean, they were brand new. Pearl is a remake. I knew what was coming.
It is a remake.
But doesn't the Pearl and Diamond weren't great games, Alex? They were. Anyway, this is your time, sir.
Okay, so for me, this is a bit of a nostalgia thing again. Like, what was the first Pokemon games you've ever played? What was your first region slash game you ever played?
Willis? Pokemon Yellow.
Pokemon Yellow, so Gen 1.
Yeah, Gen 1.
I think mine was Sapphire, potentially.
For me, it was Ruby. Though I don't really count it because I didn't actually... I stole it from my uncle, so I never actually played it from start to finish. I only got to play a few hours of it. But the first game that I ever actually, and I didn't steal it, I was like 7 years old. He let me have it. I just borrowed it first and then asked. So my first proper Pokemon game was Pokemon Pearl. And it was what introduced me to Pokemon, and it was just the greatest thing ever. I still even remember my first team on there. But to jump back into Pokemon in 2021 on a big TV with like a normal controller and just look at this remastered version, yet trying to stick to the originals with all the little like chibi style characters and all the colors in the music, it really does. It really felt like I was playing the original game again. And that's why it is obviously my number one for me this year.
Mm.
And I think once they announced it, it always was going to be the number one for me.
Mm.
I haven't played much of the post game, I will be honest.
I'm still stuck at. I've beaten Elite Four, but I'm stuck at what happens immediately after you beat the Elite Four.
What the fuck happened after the... Are you on about Cynthia? Or...
Yep.
Oh, she's there. I have to... Okay, this is the next topic. Pokemon was relatively easy. And then you get to the Elite Four and they have...
And oh my god!
Competitive Pokemon... competitive items, and they blow you away with just how difficult the Elite Four actually is in this game. This is the first time I've ever struggled since like fifth gen, to be honest. I did 6, 7, and 8 were a walk in the park. And then you get to the Elite Four on Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, and it just... The difficulty ramps up so much.
It's another level, isn't it? And
I lost.
It should be.
Yeah, I actually lost my first time round in this league to the psychic type. I forget what he's called. Lucian.
Yeah.
I actually lost to him because I have a Crobat that was the nature where it's competitive in speed, and Alakazam outsped me and one-shot me with Psychic. That's or whatever attack it had. I know Alakazams are fast, but it's a life orb Alakazam with the timid nature. Since when has an Elite Four had a timid Alakazam holding a life orb? It just blew my mind with how much of a step up the Elite Four was, and that's why it's my favorite Pokemon game to date. Because there are actually difficult fights in it.
It's a challenge.
What do you remember what your original Pokemon teams were?
Well, back
like in Pro or
oh, I can tell what my current team is. I've got Palkia. I have got Azumarill. I have got trying to remember. Is it Infernape? I think it is. Is it Infernape?
The monkey on fire?
Yeah, Infernape, yeah.
Yeah, apparently.
I've got a Staraptor. I think I've got a Golduck.
Not Silverduck.
It's called Golduck. I want a good grass type, but the only good grass type in the game is the one you get to start the game. And I didn't choose him.
Because you suck.
To be fair, Chimchar is adorable.
Turtwig is better.
I do love Turtwig. And I'm like, and I didn't want to wait around trading back and forth for 3 hours, so I had one of each.
Okay, so for this, I had for the remake, I did have the 3 stars, I will admit. So the other 3 Pokemon I had in my team was Palkia, because I thought in my original playthrough I had the legendary, so I just wanted to feel that more nostalgic. I had a Crobat, which ended up evolving into Crobat before the 3rd gym somehow. Like, his friendship shot up that much. He was a Crobat at level 27. And my final Pokemon, which you would not believe just how unbelievably tanky it is, a Pachirisu. Pachirisu took down Cynthia's Milotic.
Wow, impressive.
That's how tanky it was. It took down Bronzong. It truly was the MVP of the team. But as for the original team I had Torterra, I had Crobat, Palkia, Sneasel, Staraptor, and...
No Infernape?
No, because Turtwig is better. And what was the last one?
While you're thinking, Alex, I'll let you think for a few moments longer. The really cool thing as well is, of course, is that Pokemon Home adds is going to add compatibility with Pearl and Diamond, I believe, next month. So that's fantastic news, of course, because that means I get to bring Bulbasaur across.
Bulbasaur.
You remember that idea?
I think it was Lucario, but I could be wrong.
Lucario's a bitch. A bitch to fight. He's a very, very good fighting type. He keeps getting faster and faster and faster.
My team was rubbish against Maylene. We struggled so much with that Lucario. I had five Pokemon at that point, and I ended... Oh, no, sorry, 6. Because I'm pretty sure I spammed the chat. When I was doing Viridian Forest, I walked past an item, battle a trainer, and then I think to myself, you know what? I don't want to leave that item. I walked back into the grass and bumped into a shiny Veneri. The sheer chance of that.
Sometimes it's just timing is perfect sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about you, Chris? I mean, you said you weren't enamoured with the game.
Well, so I haven't actually played much more of it. I took my Switch with me. I didn't really spend as much time on Switch as I thought I would. So it's a game I do need to sit down and spend more time with because I don't know why it hasn't grabbed me as much as Sword and Pokemon Sword did for me. Like I say, I do want to get stuck into it, but I don't know if it's just like the graphical style. I'm not sure what it is, but something's just kind of not drawn me in as much as Sword did. So hopefully I will be able to get stuck into it. But obviously you've got Arceus
next week. Yes, of course. And that's going to another new take on the generation, of course.
But again, that might help me get into Diamond and Pearl because it's set in the same region.
Obviously, this is true.
Obviously, many centuries before Diamond and Pearl take place in the Hisuria region, but
yeah.
Yes.
I will say what Sword and Shield definitely did better was the gyms.
Yeah.
Not so much the battling. I mean, I kind of prefer the battling in the remake, but the fact it was in a stadium and you had crowds and there was all cheering and just there was an ambience in Pokemon Sword and Shield when you were in the Elite Four in the stadiums that the other games have just never managed to replicate.
It's certainly, I would say, almost unrivaled. But it was built for the Switch, wasn't it, originally?
Yeah, and how powerful the legendaries are in that game. Like the legendaries that came with Sword and Shield were just ridiculously strong.
Zamazenta and Zacian?
Zamazenta and Zacian.
Yeah. Zacian. Because Zamazenta was my boy.
Zacian was mine.
And then the legendary, Eternatus, that wasn't even on the box or mentioned, and you somehow get him before the others.
Ridiculous, but at the same time, really good. But really good fun. But well done to them for not spoiling it before the game came out. Fantastic.
Yeah, I don't think there was like any lead up to Eternatus being a thing, was there?
No, it's actually you. Oh,
I'm like, oh my god, what the hell is that?
It's a cyberpunk dragon. Probably, it literally looks like a dragon that would come from cyberpunk.
It sort of did. So yeah, Alex, I totally get why it was your number one pick. Shame on me for not making it a pick on mine at all. And hopefully Chris can get into it a bit more.
Guess I can try and fully appreciate it.
Indeed. So with that now being said, do we have an honourable mention for what would have made the list possibly?
I've got a few, but I'm going to probably down to one.
Okay. Do you have one, Alex, or not?
It's got to be Forza Horizon 5. I like it, but I just liked the others more, that this couldn't make the top three for me. I like what they've done with Horizon 5, but I don't know. I just feel like it could be just a little bit better in a way. Pardon me.
Fair enough. I have two, I have to admit.
Cheater.
But I'm going to pick one. I'm going for why I'm getting shouted out here. Football Manager 22. The reason why I picked Football Manager 22 is because it's everything I wanted from FIFA for free. Football Manager 22. Basically, everything I want from a game. Manage the actual team. You can watch the game wherever you want to. You can do all the strategic stuff you want to do. And it's on Game Pass for free rather than paying £70 for FIFA. I know which one. It was a no-brainer for me. No FIFA this year for me. Simple. Chris?
The honourable mention I am going to go with We'll go, and the other couple I had is Persona 5 Strikers. For me, it's great because it meant I get stuck into the world of Persona 5. It's a great cast of characters. Again, it's just like the story side of Sun Games is really good, so it really draws you in, and there's a lot of stuff there. It's kind of sequel, but not quite, because it's not the same gameplay style. It's more of a mix of Persona 5 and kind of like the Warrior style game. So it's not completely Hyrule Warriors style game, but it's not completely Persona 5, so it's kind of a good mix.
That's cool.
It's just a game that doesn't scream Game of the Year to me, but it's one that I had a lot of fun with. Awesome soundtrack again, great characters again. So,
well, Joker's quite infamous now, isn't he? Thanks to his role in Smash.
Yeah, he managed to get Smash Brothers.
So he, that's perfectly good. Yeah. Brilliant final pick, obviously.
Yeah, so that is my pick of
special mention.
Yes, yeah, my honorable mention.
Okay, Alex, do you have a nomination for the worst game of the year?
I don't think I do, to be honest.
Okay.
I haven't played another game
that disappointed you the most.
Yeah, well, have you got one that disappointed you the most, then? How about that?
This is a bit of a cheaty answer because I haven't played it, but I've seen enough reviews and enough gameplay in the zombies is in this new game to say it's my worst. Because as much as I did want to play it after seeing all of it, I just wasn't that hyped about it. And that's Call of Duty Vanguard. It just doesn't
Game Pass.
Yeah, about a year's time it'll be on Game Pass as well, Alex.
So. I'll play it then. But it just didn't hit like I thought it would after watching everything. Like, normally I'll watch stuff and then I think, you know what, I am going to buy that game. But after watching this, I thought to myself, I'm not wasting my money on that. No. I might pick it up if I ever see it for like 15 quid secondhand or when it's probably on the Game Pass next year, but I'll be waiting till then to play it.
It's a very, very worthy pick, Alex, given the amount of problems they've been having with it.
How much reverse orders all of a sudden?
I don't know how. I'm not entirely sure how, but I'm going to go next anyway, so I'm sorry about that. But so I'm going to give my pick for worst game of the year. And to be fair, I've got a funny feeling that most of our listeners out there will agree with me on this one. Especially seeing how much Mags was looking forward to having this game. He was saying, this game is the best game of the year. It ended up being one of the most anticipated and being one of the biggest disappointments. The worst game of 2021, as voted for by me, the GTA Original Trilogy Remaster.
Oh, I heard so much bad about that.
GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas. Oh, my God. I mean, I don't even need to tell you the reason why it's bad. Everybody knows the reason why it's bad.
I think people would have learned from the Cyberpunk situation.
You would think so, wouldn't you? You'd think Rockstar, who literally just like print money with GTA, would have learned to not do this. So, yeah, for me, I could just leave it at this as a GTA HD remaster of the 3 Vice City and San Andreas trilogy. Chris?
My one is pretty much going by the rules of game that disappointed me most kind of thing.
Yeah.
And it is... Okay, I just didn't mention in our conversation at the end of last year, actually, but it's a game called Balan Wonderworld.
Okay, for those who aren't aware of it,
Basically, it is a game from the director Yuji Naka, who, the uninitiated, he is the guy who created Sonic. Also has games like Knights, Burning Rangers, Billy Hatcher and the Giant Egg, and Burning Rangers, various other things under his belt. So
he knows how a good game is. What you're saying?
The thing is, a lot of games tend to be quite cult games, especially the Knights series, very much a cult classic. But Man of Underworld is from Square Enix. They got Yuji Naka on board. And it was meant to be like a AAA Knights title. It was supposed to be like full budget, big quality game. And I don't know what went wrong. It's just, it showed a lot of promise, but the gameplay just didn't deliver. It's just, it feels like it's rushed. It wasn't finished properly.
That's not good.
No, and it's just like, maybe it's usually not going to be able to move the times, but it felt very 90s as well, as some of the aesthetic is. The gameplay just wasn't as clean or as crisp or as... It was like quite clunky gameplay mechanics. It's just that wasn't as smooth as it should have been.
You were disappointed.
Yeah.
And the question I have to ask you at this point is, did you pay money for it?
I did, but it was in a sale, so I got it for like 16 quid, so...
Okay, what is, just for the benefit of the tape, as it were, what was the full price for that game?
It was a full price title.
So I'm talking 60 quid.
50 quid, yeah.
50 quid in the UK. So that's about $70 American, obviously.
Yeah.
That's a disappointing game. Yeah.
To put into context, Ben watches the Spawn Wave channel. He does like a podcast with other YouTubers, and he has a bet with a YouTuber, that if Metroid Dread sells 3 million copies in its first year, this other YouTuber would have to play Band of Underworld and Switch and do play it all the way through and do a review on it.
That bad? Yeah. Okay.
It is a forfeit. It's like a bet that they've got going that if Metroid Dread sells 3 million copies in its first year, this guy's going to pay through Band Wonderworld.
Right, that speaks volumes.
Yes.
That does speak volumes. Okay.
Yeah. Which is really hard to say, because Yuji Naka is a guy who's massively got my respect, because obviously Sonic is one of my favourite.
You're a Sonic boy. You're a Sonic boy, yeah.
I was a Sega boy growing up. Sonic was my favourite character. Sonic series, my favourite series growing up. Like, Sonic Generations is one of my favourite games. Sonic 3 and Knuckles is legendary in my opinion.
Yes.
Like, this guy, I think he left Sega after about the Sonic Adventure 2 era, which is still a really good game. Actually, I think he might be Sonic Heroes as well, but he's round about the GameCube era he left Sonic Team and Sega behind. And yeah, it's just... sad in a way to see that he hasn't been able to kind of keep up with technology or modern gameplay. I think he set out to make a retro game and it just wasn't good. he didn't bring himself the need to be brought up to date. If that makes sense.
Which is not good.
Yeah, so that is my most disappointing game of last year.
Fair enough. I think that those are three bit perfectly hated on titles of a different end of the spectrum. Some games we knew about, some games we didn't. I think that's a perfect adequate bottom three, and all those games, you suck.
With a heavy heart.
Unfortunately, so. But the good thing is that hopefully things will look up, not down, which is a perfect segue for the next section. Because, of course, next week, myself, Alex, and hopefully Kerry as well, we are all going to be jumping onto Chris Talks Games.
Woo!
Because it's time for us to do our seasonal. It's an annual thing for us now.
Yeah.
We all come on your show and we talk about the game looking forward to this year.
Sure, I think the last couple of years have been jumping on your show.
It is. This time you're hosting. We'll
be talking about what we're looking forward to in the year ahead. Mm-hmm. There are some massive games already announced for this year. So
Yes.
Lots are expected this year as well. So
a lot of pushbacks coming up this year, of course. Yeah,
plenty to be excited about.
So, Chris, give us a little taste of what we've got to do for next week. Are we doing 10 or are we doing 5?
I've been talking with it, because 10 can sometimes be a bit of a choice. But 5 gets really tough. So I'm still on the fence about whether to do 5 or 10, but
Okay. Okay. Well, tune in next week, guys, and you will. You'll get a find
out. I think I probably will keep it at 10. Stick with the formula.
Okay, well, we'll see what happens next week. We'll see you next week, of course, Chris Talks Games. And just keep an eye on his Twitter handle at Chris37 for that.
Obviously. Yeah. And plenty of pictures of Matt having brain freezes.
Yes. Yes, thank you for that, Christopher.
Yeah.
Okay.
The brain freeze song, okay.
Brain freeze song, yes, indeed. Of course, don't
forget. Brain freeze chronicles.
The brain freeze chronicles. Which is a nice little segue on, of course.
Season 2. Stick around at some point for season 3.
Yeah, because, well, at some point, yes. But it's a perfect little segue in a way, because now is the perfect time for us to plug something else we do on a regular basis, of course, which is our Dungeon Dragon stuff over on Dungeon Junkies, of course.
Yeah, where Matt can be bothered to show up.
I missed 2 weeks. Come on.
We probably had like three or four recordings of that in 2 weeks.
Four. But not for me. For Blaze, which is coming soon. Blade in the Dark is coming soon to Caitlin's content over on the Mind Games. Keep an eye over on their stuff at KNRC. They'll be letting everybody know when it happens. Myself and Alex have had a lot of fun playing Blades so far. Mm-hmm. And of course, you'll also find Caitlin's D&J over there as well. Now, of course, here on VGM, of course, Chris has got his own little series of one-shots going. He's done a few guest appearances in the main series as well.
Need to start cracking on my third one shot.
We're looking forward to it. It's madness. We love it.
I've got the location set. I've got a couple of things in mind. So just tying it all together now, I think.
Okay. We're looking forward to that, of course. Now, obviously, we've also got Chad's series, Escape from All Farm, of course, which is just mental. We've got Carrie's amazing series, always known as Murder Hobo Island, the Fall of OSHA. And of course,
Murder Hobo Island, full of people, full of the good characters who have nothing but morals. Well, apart from Moira.
Moira's got morals!
Joking.
Not many, but she got them. And of course, Alex, of course, you've got the amazing Teleportoria.
Which is almost on its final season, which is kind of maddening.
Indeed, I forgot something brand new planned for when this is all finished up, and looking forward to that as well. Of course, the Inoue Chronicles has just dropped last week, another episode. No one coming up in a couple weeks' time. Obviously, there was also the festive content, which Chris was on, of course, as well. The night before Christmas, it's perfect for me. I loved it.
It was carnage.
I loved it. You guys were mental.
We derailed you for about an hour. We didn't need to.
You derailed me for an hour. You didn't need to do that at all. But that's what... the
sofa. I immediately lift up the sofa.
Done.
It's all the fact that we didn't check the phone as well up the stairs.
You should have just checked the phone. If you're not sure what I'm talking about, guys, go back and listen to it. It's worth your time. I swear. But yeah, all of the amazing stuff produced on from us, mainly from Alex, Kerry, Caitlin, and Chad. My stuff's a bit vanilla, but you guys do an amazing job.
Stop making yourself short.
To be fair, I have thrown a cracking at them this series. I have thrown a cracking at them.
You throw a cracking at us when we're level 9.
You killed it.
I almost got eaten.
No, you were eaten. You nearly got digested. You then cut your way out from the inside. You cut your way out from the inside because you managed to actually do enough damage to do so. Otherwise, you would have been dead. Yes, been re-rolled in character. But,
oh my god, I would have run down hell on you with a new character.
But there's so much amazing stuff. Guys, go check it out. Keep it pinned to at Dungeon Junkies on the Twitter handle for that. Obviously, Kerry's not here this week, but check her out over at Shura Beans. And of course, she does look after the Dungeon Junkies on Instagram. Chris, we mentioned briefly, of course, your Twitter handle, but you also have a YouTube.
Yeah, my Twitter is at Chris37 and my YouTube is Chris Reactor. And I do share all my videos onto my Twitter, so if you follow my Twitter, you'll find me on there. There isn't much recently on my YouTube channel that I need to fix in the next couple of weeks, but I'm just getting back in the habit of work and...
You have changed jobs and Christmas and all that and being away. So we can forgive, we can forgive that. We've been a bit slow on our channel as well.
Yeah, I'm piled up in lots of e-learning and...
And lots of games all piled up waiting for you to play. So you've got... You're going to have plenty of fun.
Just fighting the time to at the moment.
This is the thing, of course. Alex, of course. This is where we need to actually plug our brand new sponsor, of course.
Woo!
Of course, we've been looking for the right sponsor for the right time, and at this point is where we should be thanking GamerWare for sponsoring our show. If you want to go to GamerWare and purchase anything from their website, feel free to use our code GameJunkies10 to get 10% off at the checkout. Okay, we will be doing a proper trailer for that in the future, but we thought we would break the news to you guys now that we are sponsored again, and it is something that we're all quite excited about. The news broke just before Christmas, and it was we've had a kiss this sort of for a while, but it's really good fun, and we're looking forward to that, aren't we?
Yeah, definitely.
Indeed. And perfect time now. Yourself, sir, where can people get in touch with you?
Of course, you can find me at Spiderbread UK. That's probably never going to change at this point. You can find the main show at Game Junkies Pod, and you can find the ever-growing collection of Dungeons & Dragons Madness, of one-shots in Pirates, in Murder Hobo Islands, and Vanilla, according to Matt, in The Underworld, at Dungeons & Junkies.
Indeed. Find me at Matt at UK. Thank you, as always, to Visions Little Media for letting us talk for, seemed like 2 hours about nonsense, talking about video games and basically just having an absolute blast. We'll be back in 2 weeks with Game Junkies. We're on the Chris's show next week. So yeah, thank you once again, Chris.
You're welcome.
We'll see you next week. I'm Matt.
I'm Alex.
And we're out of here.
This podcast is a Matt Attack production for Visionaries Global Media.